Welcome to you all this morning. And just in preparation for what we're going to be looking at in the Word this morning, we're going to be looking at the healing or the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. And I've divided this into two parts because between the Lord becoming aware of Jairus' daughter's condition and him raising her out of that, there is the story of a woman who had a hemorrhage or was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And so in this story that falls between those two aspects of the healing of Jairus' daughter, the Lord performs a healing on a woman. Now the interesting thing about this is that the woman had had the hemorrhage for 12 years and Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. So these two stories are very closely linked in terms of the spiritual process that's being illustrated there. But today we're just going to be looking at the first part, that to do with the chief of the synagogue, Jairus, coming to Jesus and seeking his assistance for his daughter who is described as being at the point of death. And we will follow on next week and we will have a look at those other aspects and see how they are connected. But overarching that is the connection of these two stories with that of the Gadarene demonic, what occurred there. And so today we will see that there is a link and hopefully that will increase our understanding of the spiritual processes involved. Let us pray. Reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, reading verses 5 through to 7. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, reading verses 21 to 24. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. The reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work The Arcana Celestia, paragraph 2881. If it had been possible for man to be reformed under compulsion, there would not be anyone in all the universe who would not be saved. Nothing would in fact be easier for the Lord than to compel man to fear him, to worship him, or indeed, so to speak, to love him. The means available to him are countless, but because that which is done under compulsion is not joined to a person and so does not become his own, it is therefore quite alien to the Lord to compel anybody. As long as a person is engaged in conflicts, that is, as a member of the church militant, it seems as though the Lord does not compel that person, and thus he has no freedom, for he is at the time constantly battling against self-love and love of the world, and so against the freedom into which he was born and into which he has grown up. And as a consequence, he seems, just as just mentioned, to have no freedom. But in those conflicts, in which he is victorious, he possesses greater freedom than outside of them. Yet this freedom does not originate in himself, but in the Lord, though it still seems to be his own. The sermon's title today is Two Daughters Healed. And this is the first part. So last week, just to recap, we left off our look at the story of the Gadarene demonic, and we saw in the end there that he begged earnestly, that he pleaded with Jesus that he might go with him. And of course Jesus refused that request, saying to the man that he was to go to his friends into the region and proclaim the mercy and compassion that God had on him. And so the scripture tells us that he went through the Decapolis and proclaimed all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So this man's desire to remain with Jesus represents how when our minds are lifted into those times or states of enlightenment, there arises within us a desire to remain in them. And it's almost a remaining in them in order to escape from the realities associated with the more external aspects of daily living. But New Church spirituality doesn't separate itself from daily life, but seeks to integrate daily life into a spiritual context. The power of the church's teachings lies in its practical applications. It lies in their ability to give enlightenment in the coalface of life. It has the ability to transform every aspect of our lives into a testimony to the power and love of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. New Church spirituality that's worth its salt encourages us to meet life head on, bringing our understanding of the mercy and compassion the Lord has had on us to bear on our experience of it. And if we really believe what the heavenly doctrines state, then we could draw no other conclusion that the potential of a lived New Church spirituality is nothing short of something truly remarkable. So it is that the New Church understands the word to teach that we must be engaged in life and live according to our understanding of the word. Hence we see this in what Jesus taught the demonic from the boat before leaving. He sought to understand the word more fully, and we see this in his approach to Jesus. But Jesus, as the living word, spoke to him saying, "Go and testify to the mercy and compassion of God in your life." Now, Decapolis comes from two words, deca, meaning 10, and the word polis, meaning city. And we have the idea there of 10 cities. Decapolis literally means 10 cities. And the region that the demonic was living in was a league of 10 cities within that region. So the man proclaiming all that the Lord had done for him in the 10 cities represents the need to take spiritual principles out into every area of our life and thought. 10 is a number that means all. And we've looked previously at what a city corresponds to, and we saw that cities are the ideas or the concepts that we live in. So here the man going into the 10 cities and testifying to the mercy and compassion of the Lord is a picture of our need to look at every area of our lives and assess our views within those areas, within the light found in our understanding of the Lord's mercy and compassion. This means that we should be taking every opportunity to evaluate our thinking patterns that are associated with our daily routines and habits. We need to look at these areas of our lives and assess whether those thoughts and affections associated with them that come up routinely, are they merciful? Do they have a spirit of compassion? And are they loving? If we do this, then we cannot but ourselves become more loving and compassionate people toward ourselves as well as towards others. But the thing that we must constantly keep in mind with regard to the development of those more loving attitudes within ourselves, the establishment of those spiritual principles that we hold to, is that these things are put in place gradually, step by step, as we do the interior work of looking to the Lord and casting out those things we see as preventing the Lord's love becoming manifest within us. When we read the gospel stories, it's easy to move from story to story or event to event and fail to see that everything is connected. Our reading and understanding of the word can be greatly enhanced if we look for these connections, and we can do this through prayerfully coming to the word on a daily basis and asking the Lord to open our understanding that we might see things in a fuller light. So there is a question that I'd like you to hold in your mind as we progress through our topic today. As we look at these events of Jesus' healing or raising Jairus' daughter, and also of the woman with the hemorrhage. How are these events, this is the question, how are these events linked to the story of the Gadarene demonic? What is the connection? Now, one of the difficulties we have in seeing connections is that they only become evident as we move from the historical setting to seeing things in terms of the spiritual process. Our natural minds are bound to concepts of space and time, and these serve as a sort of filter that filters out the word's spiritual meaning. In the case of what we're looking at today, we read of historical events, which immediately brings the notion of time into our thinking concerning them. Then we see that the Lord in one place dealing with a group of people in the Gadarenes, and then moving across an expanse of water to a different place where he is seen to interact with the people of Galilee. We can't help seeing this in terms of space and the distance we perceive as existing between these two sets of people and events. That distance supports ideas within our minds that tend toward unrelatedness or disconnectedness. We have to lift our thought out of time and space if the spiritual contents of this story are to be seen. The Lord's journeys between places in the stories of the Word illustrate the operation of the Word within different states of life we pass through in our spiritual development. We leave off the Gadarene demonic, going into Decapolis, testifying to how the Lord had mercy and compassion on him. As he sets out to do this, we find the Lord, now on the other side, once again amidst a great crowd. out of which comes a man described as a leader or ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, who when he saw Jesus fell at his feet, begging him earnestly, the scripture says, that he might come and heal his dying daughter. See, in returning to Galilee, we enter once again into the realm of instruction and the building of principles within our understanding by means of truths from the Word. This building of the understanding occurs only as we engage in the effort to evaluate our thoughts and affections, that mental activity of our natural minds, in the light of our understanding now of the Lord's mercy and compassion on us. It is this effort, represented by the Gadarene demonic testifying in the Decapolis, that preempts Jairus' coming to the Lord. These events are connected. From a spiritual perspective, when we look at them as illustrations of aspects of a spiritual process going on within us. Jairus is the leader or chief of the synagogue. Now, we've already seen when looking at Mark's gospel what a synagogue represents, and it represents our understanding of spiritual things due to its main purpose being a place of instruction in the Word. Jairus as chief then represents the leading principle that governs our understanding of spiritual things. As chief of the synagogue, he filled largely an administrative role and was responsible for the maintenance of order, the selection of speakers and teachers, and he also had disciplinary powers in relation to the maintenance of that order within the synagogue. What we see in Jairus' coming to Jesus and falling at his feet is a cornerstone principle of New Church spirituality. In fact, there are two principles that we can see here immediately. The first is this, that of ourselves, we are powerless to affect anything good and true. Jairus arrives in absolute desperation, throwing himself at the Lord's feet. Secondly, any teaching that is spiritual will lead to the living Word himself. Doctrine must be drawn from the literal sense of the word and confirmed by it. If it is, it will always lead us to the feet of Jesus in recognition that the word holds every answer to life. The Jairus principle in us, that which governs our understanding concerning spiritual matters, must be orientated toward the Lord in his word as we move out with the Gadarene man to assess every area of our lives in the light of the Lord's love. The name Jairus is interesting as it means whom God enlightens, or he shall shine. It also has ideas connected with it of prosperity and happiness. The ideas of illumination and enlightenment serve to confirm the focus here is the further building of our understanding of spiritual life. But enlightenment is born of application. As we seek to apply the knowledge we have of spiritual principles to every area of our lives, we soon find that maintaining spiritual wakefulness and loving attitudes in the grind of daily life is no easy task. We find that we are continually being caught up in established ways of thinking and feeling associated with the routines and habitual behaviors that make up our external life. They switch on and we end up going for the ride. And before we know it, we have allowed negative emotions to rise up from within, inspiring unloving thoughts about those around us or even ourselves. It seems that that state that was represented by the deliverance of the demonic, which creates a newfound passion for spiritual things, that experience of the Lord's power to deliver us from what is unclean, now seems like a distant memory as we struggle to press on. The apparent dominance of our old negative ways of thinking and feeling over our desire to be more loving and understanding can lead to feelings of despondency and depression as the old life tries to reassert itself. This often brings on states of despair as what once seemed so alive now stands on the brink of death. The daughter of Jairus at the point of death represents this state. Now, the term daughter describes a relationship or a bond of affection. As an affection, she is tied to the ruling principle of the developing spiritual understanding. For remember, she is the daughter of the chief of the synagogue. The ruling principle of an understanding grounded in a new church spirituality is love to the Lord and love to our neighbor, or a love directed towards supporting the spiritual well-being of others. The struggle we have in expressing these core spiritual principles in daily life, due to those things that rise up in the natural man that resists the advance of heavenly love, is perceived as a daughter on the brink of death. For those things in us that resist love's advance, resist the source of life itself, and where love is unable to find expression, so we plunge into anxiety and fear for the loss of those higher loves ever being able to govern our lives. Now, Jairus fell at the feet of Jesus. And the feet is that part of the body which contacts the earth. And because Jesus is the Word made flesh, the living Word, we see that his feet, being what is lowest, spiritually must correspond to the most external dimension of goodness. Jairus falling at his feet demonstrates a person's willingness and commitment to live in obedience to their understanding of what constitutes a spiritual life. The acknowledgement that the Lord, or what is the same, his word is divine, accompanied with an obedience to our understanding of what it teaches in respect to becoming a more loving and understanding person, is the cornerstone of a genuine new church spirituality. What Jairus' actions teach us is that when things get tough, when we don't feel very loving or understanding, when it seems that old negative patterns of thinking and feeling or acting seem impossible to break, when our affection for the things of the Lord's Word appears to be losing ground in the face of these things, and is even at the point of death, we must stay the course, making every effort to maintain our commitment to doing the work of repentance. It is our self-compulsion in those times when we feel as though it's all just getting to be a little too much that builds and strengthens our will for that which is good and true. For those who are willing to reflect on what flows into their thoughts, it is clear that there are many things within that resist higher heavenly loves being established within us by the Lord. But through engaging our will to continue to do what we believe to be right in the light of the Word and what the new church teaches, these resistant things are gradually broken down, allowing love to flow through us to others in more fuller and enriching ways. Such commitment will bring about the promise contained in the meaning of the name attached to Jairus. For those who have had created within them a heavenly will are enlightened concerning the things of love and their application. In verse 24, in response to Jairus, we read of Jesus that he went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So through our willingness to obey the Lord's word, we give him leave to be with us, that through his word the answers to life might be found. Now next week we will be looking at where the woman with the hemorrhage fits into this process of healing or of the raising of Jairus' daughter. Amen.